on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3 is what you need to type in to search for it. It will also stream live on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Please drop your comment as we go. We start with the Punch newspaper, page 2 of the Punch. VAT collection row, no going back on bail. Lagos insists. Adamawa backs Wike.
This is a quiet revolution going on, to be honest with you, and it's quite exciting. The states are now ready to assert their independence in certain areas, and this might jolly well just be the beginning. And all this is because, to be very honest with you, the federal government seems to be running a closed shop, you know, and so the states, they are closer to the people. They must relieve themselves. So Lagos has insisted that there's no going back on the VAT bill. Okay.
That's right.
And I think it's on the second reading. Let me see. It says that Lagos said it will go ahead with the VAT bill, which passed second reading in the State House of Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
But the governments of Ekiti, Osun, and Benue State said they were still studying the situation. They are not serious people. Because this case had been in court. And what I expect to have happened is your attorney general, your finance experts should have got together to say that, look, let's look at the two scenarios. That's how governance is done.
Yeah.
Let's look at the two scenarios that might come out with so that we can quickly make up our minds where we are going, which is probably what happened to Lagos and Rivers. Okay? They're ready to go. But if you see, 4 days now, Ekiti, Osun, and Benue State, so Ekiti, I can also understand a bit. I think the governor is playing a bit of politics.
Yeah.
It is said in certain circles that he has his eyes on federal, so he might want to play a bit of, you know, a bit of politics, so that the powers that be, in Abuja won't think that, oh, this man might jolly well ruffle feathers. Maybe that's what it is. I'm just speculating, but he should put the welfare of his people first. Ekiti State has loads of educated people. They have Femi Falana. They have so many lawyers. Yeah. They should run to him now, and let him do the needful. Okay, because the Federal High Court in Port Harcourt, in his judgment, held that the Rivers State government had the power to collect VAT within its territory, and the judge refused to grant any form of injunction. Said that, you know, he said they should go ahead. And that, you know, by now, you know, I expect any state to you know, and put a, if you don't have enough legal opinions, put a phone call across to Sanwo-Olu in Lagos and tell him, can your attorney general, give us legal advice on this? Nothing spoil.
It's been said that some states would probably not do anything because they are not generating that much. As in VAT, and they're getting much more than what they're generating from VAT. So they'll probably remain quiet. I don't know the position of Ekiti. I got some breakdown yesterday, but I can't.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out where, but in that breakdown, they listed, you know, the states according to the VAT that they generated. I can tell you that some states are just very, very low.
Whether we like it or not, in another 2 weeks, we're going to have some kind of, we're going to have a position on it. So whether you want to then collect it or not is left to you. But I don't think money is that too little that you say that you won't. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It makes sense for you to. And VAT can be VAT from supermarkets, from hotels.
If you're not generating that much, VAT is on you. It's not on anybody.
Yes, it's your fault. I don't think that holds water. I think that, especially in the case of Ekiti, I don't know about Osun. Maybe Osun was just caught flat-footed. But I think Ekiti, if the governor, if it is true, if all these things are conditional, that the guy has his eyes on the presidency, then he's going to be a bit more guarded.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to, because again, we always take these things personal. He probably won't want to be seen as a rebel. In the case of Lagos, he wants a second time in Lagos, so he must be seen to be leading the fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we must make sure we get VAT. And he needs all the money, to be honest with you. Yeah. And VAT in Lagos, man.
Lagos is anything close to 500 billion.
That's the projected whatever.
That's what's been generated yearly.
Not VAT?
Yes.
Lagos, they haven't collected
about VAT. 400, no, generating.
Oh, I see.
Into the central post, about 400 something, almost 500 billion.
Is there a way we can hold the money till after 2023? I wish there was a way we could. We could put the money somewhere until 2023 for reasons that you know, that are best known to us here.
Yeah.
Bayelsa State say that they are studying the judgments, the pussyfooting, if you ask me. And Kogi, you know, the governor of Kogi too, he has his eyes on the presidency. So he says here that Kogi is not considering VAT collection. It's up to him.
Yes, it is.
It's up to him.
It is. I mean, it's sad that some would rather they play politics with everything.
Well, it's become part of our character, at least for our politicians.
Mm.
Our politicians always put themselves first. Because even those who are proactive now, some of them are proactive so that they can be seen as being there for the people.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they also have their eyes on the money. They could use that money. How much do you say Lagos is again?
About 400 and something, almost 500 billion.
Can you imagine the number of roads and whatever, the number of roads, hospitals and this and that, that you can budget for? And I'm choosing my words carefully. I didn't say spend. That you can budget for with that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, budgeting is one thing. Actual spending is another.
That's right.
If you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I get what you mean.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, me deal it, though. Page 6. Let's go to page 6. Fashola not taking away your sources of livelihood. Aid. Fashola not taking away your sources of livelihood. It's according to his aide.
Yes, this is the kind of indiscipline that we've had, you know, in our lives for so long. Just yesterday, I don't know where I was going, and I don't know who I was with in the car. Most likely would have been Philip. And I was complaining about how I just saw this, I think it was in Ekoi. Philip, I think it was you. Yes, I just saw in front of somebody's house, a organizer had set up, you know, indiscriminately.
Yeah.
Where am I going? Mechanics, organizers, and so on, name it, all kinds of people can, there's this freebie attitude that you can set up anywhere. And that's exactly what has happened here. What is the problem? Automobile technicians they set up under the Berger-Kara Bridge on Lagos-Ibadan Expressway. Now, anybody who knows about town planning knows that under a bridge is not where you're going to set up a mechanic workshop. But we've been so indisciplined. Look at Sulere. Under the bridge, under the Ikpori side, there's an event center under the bridge. Why do I call it an event center? You always have people having parties under a bridge.
What?
There's a car wash under the bridge.
They turn up.
You know, and so on, costing all the way down. Now, the federal government wants to carry out repairs under that bridge, and they need to evacuate the people. The question is, why have you allowed them stay there for so long, to the point now that they now feel that their staying there is legitimate? Okay, to get them out has now become a problem. It says that the technicians under the auspices of Nigerian Automobile Technical Association appealed to Fashola to find them an alternative site when he issued another. So they've now given him the responsibility, find us an alternative site. Do you know why?
Why?
It is most likely that his own officials had been collecting money from these people. And I keep telling our government.
So they're feeling entitled.
They're feeling they have a sense of that's the latest thing. Everybody has a sense of entitlement. Somebody from your village is Sheriff is in Lagos now. He's there every morning. He must drop this. You know, everybody has that sense of entitlement, and that's what it is. We have loads of these things in Lagos now. The government is still looking the other way. Why would a mechanic, if you want to set up a mechanic workshop, go get a piece of land, wall it and plug the gate, instead of doing it on the main street. If everybody plied it straight on the streets of Lagos, what would we look like if I put a chair, table, microphone and everything and start running a radio station on the streets? Because what is good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah.
You know, but the government keeps looking the other way. All under the excuse that, things are hard. Our people must survive. I don't think so. Because what happens is that you get more damage done communally, okay, than the welfare of the individual.
But it's the government that must enforce order.
They do not. And also because of corrupt practices. I'm sure somebody has been collecting money from and they might just show up with some kind of receipt.
Chai.
But the Ministry of Works and Housing is not a trading company.
Oh, yeah.
They might just show up with some kind of receipt from somewhere. Anyway, Fashola has told them to leave. And this is what Hakim Bello, who is the spokesperson, said. He said the minister visited the Berger canal and gave them deadline till December.
Hmm.
We like to do Ember Month repairs of roads so that travelers plying these roads will be able to have a smooth ride. In any case, the Lagos-Ibadan Expressway is under construction, and he told the technicians that they cannot remain in that place. They should choose another place. So they came to an agreement of November.
Mm.
The technicians appealed to Fashola to help them, look at that, to help them get a place. And he said they should formally approach the Ogun State government and appeal for another land with a letter and send a copy of the letter to the Federal Controller of Works.
Yeah.
This is doing to allow peace reign. It's not his job to look for where mechanics are going to ply their trade. In any case, Ogun State has a mechanics village. That was thanks to their former governor many years back, Dia. He was the one who set up this mechanics village when he got completely frustrated with having mechanics dote everywhere. So he said, look, there'll be no mechanics in the Abeokuta metropolis. We have a village, so you can everybody takes his car to the mechanic village. But there's this ding-dong going on. And we hope that peace will prevail. We hope we won't get to a point where they might have to forcefully eject these people. But again, I'm going to stress something. I'm going to say it for the umpteenth time. We need to clear under our bridges statewide. Apart from the security implication, I haven't seen, I'm yet to see in any modern city that I've visited where you know, people ply all kinds of trades, you know, under the... Look at Akpongbo, for example.
Yeah.
And we keep spending money trying to maintain these bridges and so on and so forth. Akpongbo, if you look at some part of it, is burnt. There's been some cooking, dundun and akara and so on. The smoke, you know. I believe that over time, these things... And in any case, you under your bridges must be guarded and must be free, both for security and maintenance reasons. I hope we learn from this.
All right. Let's move on now. Let's go pick up page 7 of the Punch. Agreement with Lagos not to end strike. Resident doctors are making that known.
What has happened is this. The Lagos State government has agreed to all the conditions of the resident doctors. But they now say that, look, it is the National that went on strike. I'm going to plead with the doctors. Yeah. Don't split hairs over this matter. If the Lagos State has met your demand, can you please provide medical services in Lagos? If the Lagos State has been proactive and met your demand, don't tie us down with the federal that are pussyfooting over these things. Because I can't understand for the life of me how we would have a Minister of Health who is a doctor and a Minister of Labour who is also a surgeon, and we will still have a strike going almost into its 40th day. I'm going to plead with the doctors to look at their Hippocratic oath to save lives. And then to say that, okay, the Lagos State government has met us, they've met all our demands. We are going to go back to work. I plead with them.
This is what is happening in Rivers, as a matter of fact. But then I spoke with the resident doctors on Monday. And what they told me is that the doctors in Rivers who are back to work will still face some sanctions from the mother body, the council, the central council of the resident doctors, because the strike was called, you know, by the National Association of Resident Doctors, not the River State chapter.
I agree with them in principle, but we are talking of human lives here. We are talking of human lives here, and I don't think it's too much sacrifice once their demands have been met in an area for them to let the federal body or whatever it is, national body, give a directive. That once you reach an agreement with your state and whatever, open up the hospitals. Are they happy that people are dying? These are doctors. In the first place, they really shouldn't have gone on strike. They could have collaborated with another union to go on strike on their behalf. We are talking of lives here. As we speak, we don't know how many lives are being lost by the minute, by the hour, by the day, because of this strike. So they should take out that element of what I would call labor pride, and then say that, look, Rivers, Lagos, if they've met your demands, go back to work. We don't want our citizens to die at the end of the day. Don't forget that the people you are negotiating with are not affected. And the signal that we get, that might not be their intention, but the signal that we get from the way they are behaving shows that they don't even put a premium on our lives. But the doctors are closer to us than these people. You know, the doctors are down here with us, and therefore our lives should mean something to them. So I'm going to plead with the national body to give a directive to say that, look, once a state has you know, agreed to these conditions, can you please go back to work?
Okay, let's move on to our next story. This time we'll go to page 29 of The Punch. Citizens, foreigners, scared of investing in Nigeria, says NESG.
Yeah, but that is a given. That is a given. The complaints are as long as my arm. Multiple taxes. Security is number one. Government policy that keeps shifting and changing and changing and shifting. Yeah. We still haven't learned. Every year you find our politicians telling us, yes, we're looking for FDIs. For 90 days, Sirica could not provide automated boarding passes in at the airport. And he wants to run for governor. They had to be written by hand.
Imagine that.
Can you imagine that? Now, to those who might not know, what it means is that, in fact, there was one that was exhibited. It was written on a piece of paper in 2021. So what it means is there was a passenger who was an Air France passenger, for example. The flight had been changed at about the time he was going to check in.
Yeah.
It couldn't be reflected on his boarding pass. When he got to Paris, he was running from counter to counter. They told him this boarding pass will not go here. You need to go. So he had to run, get another boarding pass, run with his... And look, it was so dramatic. It was so dramatic. 90 days, over 90 days, Sirica, the Minister for Aviation, because companies changed hands, all kinds of rumors, of course, had gone into the new company coming in. I'm not going to delve into that. You know. But these things do happen. So, of course, the issue of security is even number one. The issue of insecurity is so bad. It's getting bad by the day.
Yeah.
It's so bad that we no longer even carry it in our news analysis of the day. Because you'll be sounding like a broken record. If you're privileged to read the papers on a daily basis, every day in Nigeria is kidnapping, abduction.
It's enough to scare any investor away. And the National Economic Summit Group can be mistaken because they must have.
No, they're sitting.
It's their space.
They're sitting the obvious.
So they know. Let's go to page 39 of The Punch. We sealed banks for observing IPOB's sit at home. Imo State Government.
Now, I have sympathies for the banks in this regard. Okay, and I think Imo State Government, rather than do this, bring out a strong hand, they should have negotiated with the banks. What is it? There was an IPOB order that everybody should sit at home on Mondays. The banks, wanting to be careful, didn't open. Now you're penalizing them for it. I don't think that's the way to run a state. I think that if you knew that you wanted the banks to open, you could have contacted them and given them extra security.
Exactly.
To make sure. It's so simple.
Exactly.
So what's all this huffing and puffing about?
Guy, my God, man.
Oh my God, I don't
know.
Do you want a bank to have opened on a Monday when IPOB said stay at home? Who was even going to go to the banks anyway?
It's true.
Even the worker of the bank can't get to the bank.
It's true. Even the workers can't get there.
These are the things that make us look stupid in the eyes of international. Supposing I wanted to set up, I brought somebody from Brazil, my friend Roberto. I brought him from Brazil to come and set up an assembly plant in Imo.
Why Roberto?
You know, I have a friend Roberto in Brazil.
Why him?
He's listening to me in Brazil, in Sao Paulo. Supposing he'll be smiling where he is. Supposing I brought him now to set up a factory in Imo. and he sees this kind of childish behavior. Everybody knows that no sane bank would have opened on a Monday until they're given the assurances.
It's quite.
You didn't do that. You don't want to bully them into opening.
It's dictatorial, if you ask me.
It's not dictatorial. I'm sorry to use this word. I'm sorry. It's early in the morning. It's stupid. Honestly, it doesn't make sense. It's imbecilic.
What are you trying to prove?
You want to you see the government wants to enforce. This is what it is. IPOB says stay at home.
Mm.
IPOB has not said don't. They have not now said whether you should stay at home or not. They've left it open ended, and people are maybe in support of IPOB or maybe out of fear. Everybody is staying back, including the banks. You now want to penalize the banks. You say that you've sealed the banks for observing. The banks can jolly well. You see, sometimes I'm a very daring person, and maybe that's why I'm poor.
Mm.
If I was the MD of a bank, I'd shut down all my branches in that place and said, sorry. I can't, take me to court. You didn't do the needful. You didn't provide the environment for them to open the bank.
Mm.
Now, so what are the banks going to do next Monday now? I'd love to know. Maybe you should put a call through to my friend that.
Well, who is that one? That's where.
My friend that Access Bank. What are you going to do? The banks are in a dilemma.
Yeah.
They can't open and they must open.
It shouldn't be a must for them to open.
No, I think by law, banks should be open. But by what is going on.
Yeah.
No sane bank will open on a day when there's an IPOB sit at home order.
Remember when banks were, letting go of their staff and shutting down some of their branches and all of that?
Yes.
Because they couldn't maintain it, according to them, at that time.
Yes. The banks should call. They should call their bluff, or they should take them to court, because you haven't met the first condition of providing an enabling environment. But there is no. Which court would you go to now? You'd have to go to a high court in Imo. I leave the rest to your imagination.
And we know what. Yeah, exactly. Let's move on. incidentally, we're done on the show.
We're done.
Yes, we're done. Hmm. I mean, I almost forgot to say. I just checked the time. I said we're done. What's coming up at 9?
You heard him call it yesterday.
Yes.
She's back.
Oh, again. She's back. Okay, yes.
She's back again today. But today, she's going to do Dear Bumi. Now, Uncle was my very good friend in Unilag.
Yeah.
And she's half as crazy as I am. I beg bold to say that. So you're going to have a rollicking time. We'll relax this morning. We'll relax everybody.
Mm.
And then come back tomorrow and face all the jagbadiantes of Nigeria.
God rest some sort and soul.
But by the way, there's a. If, in case that place that I have, if you want. There's a floor. I can give you one floor.
I don't mind.
It's a three-story building.
No, I don't want that one. No, I just realized now. I don't want the place you have. Well, we must go now.
Okay.
Thank you, eh? Thank you. You are so kind. We're out of here. Good morning to you, Lagos.
They say, if you want to go fast...